Good to be with you this morning. Open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 for our scripture this morning. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming today. Also, not only remember the Jacobson family, but let's remember the Williford family. Billy Williford's sister passed away, and they'll be having the service this afternoon for them down in Newton Grove. So I hope that you'll pray for that family also. Did you hear about the highway patrolman stopped this lady? And she was going a little fast. And when the highway patrolman walked up to the car, he noticed that there was a 357 laying there in the seat beside her. He said, "Ma'am, do you have a permit for that gun?" She said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Is that the only one you got?" She says, "No, I have a 38 in my glove box." He said, "Is that all you got?" She said, "No, sir." She says, "I got a 25 in my purse." And he looked at her and he says, "Lady, what are you scared of?" She said, "I'm not scared of anything." And you know, sometimes when you get up to speak, somebody asked me, said, are you afraid to get up and speak? I said, "Well, yes, every time I get up to speak, I'm afraid. Afraid that I won't say what I should say and say it in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord." But you know, here's an old familiar story here in the book of Exodus chapter 12, and begin reading there with verse number 1. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat this morning. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it unto the morning you shall burn with fire. And this shall you eat it, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I'll execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be unto you a token unto the house from where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I shall smite the land of Egypt." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to thee this morning, we thank you for the privilege of opening thy word. And Lord, I pray that we'll put aside the things that will hinder our receiving the message that you have for us today. And Lord, I pray that you'll just speak to each heart, have your way. And Lord, if there's one here in this congregation that's never by faith received Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, that today will be the day of their salvation. And Lord, for us as Christians, help us, just remind us of the love that you showed to us, and that you was willing to take our sin upon you and willing to die in our place so that we might be forgiven of our sins, that we might have a home waiting for us in heaven. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I want to speak this morning for a few moments on a night to remember. You know, there are many nights in our lives that we like to remember. You remember the night of your first date? Do you remember that? Think about it for just a moment. Or you might say the night that you graduated from high school. Or you might say my wedding night. And many others. But one night stands out in the minds of the children of Israel more than any other. And it was a night that the death angel passed over the land of Egypt. At this time, the children of Israel had been down in Egypt for 430 years, and they were treated good for several years because of Joseph's sake. And at one time, Joseph was third in command in the land of Egypt. But after his death, there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And we see that the new Pharaoh began to look at the children of Israel and realize that they were growing tremendously and they were multiplying. And he was afraid if something would happen, if they rebelled against the Pharaoh, that he would have some real problems. So he put them in bondage. He put them in servitude. They began to serve the Pharaoh, and they forced them to work, and they suffered much under the hand of the taskmasters. Then the Israelites cried out to God, and God heard their cry, and God sent a deliverer there. He sent a man named Moses to come and lead the children of Israel to the promised land. Now, Moses came face to face with Pharaoh. I know Moses was afraid. And like a lot of us, I would be afraid to walk up to the President of the United States or even to the governor here of our state of North Carolina and tell them something. But we see that Moses came face to face and he said, God said, let my people go that they may worship me. And you remember Pharaoh refused to let him go. He said, who is God? In other words, he didn't know God. He did not know him in a personal way. Yes, even with the plagues, he said, well, God said, I'm going to send plagues. He sent 9 plagues up to this time. And whenever Pharaoh should have listened. He should have realized that God was in it, but he did not. And he realized, but then God said, I'm going to send one more plague, and then he'll let you go. And you know, God told Moses that one night there was going to be the final plague. And he said, the firstborn of every household would die that did not have the blood applied to their doorpost. And we see that they had been there for 430 years, and here was coming a night to remember. And you're not only to the children of Israel, but still remember that you and I as Christians should be remembering that day or that night. Because that was a picture or a symbol of what Jesus Christ was going to do for you and I. I have a book in my library called The Portraits of Christ in Genesis. But all throughout the Old Testament, you see pictures or portraits of Christ, types of Christ. And here we're going to have a type of Christ to remind people and remind us that the love that Jesus Christ has for his people. My friends, Jesus Christ loves you. He loves me. He loved us so much, he sent his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who never sinned, to come and live and die for the sins of all the world. And he came and took our place. And yes, but this was just a picture, a foretelling of what Jesus Christ was going to do. What happened that night just foretold that cross of Calvary and the blood that was shed there. Now let's look at this night and remember in the life of the children of Israel. The Lord's direction says, take a lamb. Look at verse 3 through 6. Speak ye speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. What was the Lord's direction? He says, take a lamb. And we see in these verses that God directed the children of Israel to go out and select the best lamb, male lamb that they had, and put it up and watch that lamb to make sure there's no blemish in that lamb. Make sure that lamb was perfect. Make sure it was the very best that they had and all. And God always gives the directions that he wants us to follow. This book we have before us, the Bible, is God's rule book, God's instruction book, God's operational manual. And God gives us what he wants us to do in his word. And he speaks through his word to us. You know, it could not be a female lamb. It could not be a lamb with a blemish or a spot on it. Why? Because it would have messed up the type or the picture of Christ, who was that sinless Lamb of God who came to die for the sins of the world. Over in the 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, or that things that were blemished or something was wrong with it, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. There was a type, there was a picture of the Lamb of God who was going to take away our sin. He was our sacrifice. He never sinned. He never had one ugly thought. He never said one thing wrong. I can't say that, neither can you, because we all are sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. And there's more to it than just taking a lamb without blemish and putting it in a pen and watching it. Then he said, take the blood. You know, take the blood. They had to kill the lamb and take the blood and apply it to the lintel that's over the door and on the two side posts, which is a picture of the cross. And he said, when the death angel passes over, the firstborn will be spared when I see the blood. He said, there's a remedy for sin. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that death angel is going to pass over us one day. Because the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And one day, the Lord Jesus is going to come, and there's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And then it's going to be too late for those who have heard the word of God and rejected Jesus Christ. Why did they have to kill that beautiful lamb? Well, it was such a beautiful animal. Have you ever noticed a little lamb, how beautiful and innocent looking they are? And couldn't they just tie that unblemished lamb in the yard? Wouldn't that be good enough? No, that would not be good enough. You could have 100 unblemished lambs in your yard. It still would not be good enough, because it's not the way that God said it was to be. God said the lamb would have to be slain. The blood had to be applied to the doorposts and lintel. When God gives directions, there is no other way. Hebrews 9:22 says, almost all things are purged by with the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, that one day, 65 years ago, as a little lad, I walked forward in a church. And I said, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I believe you died for me. And I asked you to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save me. And his blood was applied to my heart and my life. And it can be the same for you here today. And so we see it doesn't matter whether you like to shed blood or not. You know, if you expect to get to heaven, you have to come God's way. A lot of churches and a lot of denominations today have taken the hymn hymns out of the book that talk about the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. And it's the precious blood of Jesus Christ that can forgive us of our sins. And God help us. If we'll not apply the blood to our hearts, we'll perish in a place called hell. We see the Lord direct them to take a lamb, slay it, apply the blood. But why? Because the Lord's coming. Look at verse 12 and 13. He says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you as a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." He's going to pass through the land, he says. The Lord is speaking to Moses and said, "Now you tell the people to get ready. You tell them to slay that lamb. You tell them to take and apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintel over the door." And he said, "Because I'm going to pass through the land, and every household that does not have the blood applied, there will be the death of the firstborn there." And you know, the Lord said the blood is going to be our token. The blood is what's going to take care of your sins. You know, that's the only thing I'll accept. I'll not accept an unblemished lamb in the yard, or not one that's been slain, unless the blood has been applied. And then we see the people's obedience. They applied the blood. Look at verse 22. It said in verse 22, "And ye shall take up a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood," that is, in the basin, "and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house unto the morning." These Israelites believed God. They believed what God said. They took God at his word here, and they knew that if they did not apply the blood, the firstborn of their household would die. You know, how do you get saved? You believe. You accept what God says in his word. We have to follow his word. That's our rule book. That's our guidebook. And my friends, this is just like the world today. We want to come our own way. We want to do it our own way. But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but me." And you know, a lot of these Egyptians, they think, you know, they can do as they please. And the world today believes they can do as they please. But when the death angel passes over, and there's no blood been applied, there'll be the death in that house. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." He's the only way. It's not Confucius. It's not Muhammad. It's not any other founder of any religion. It's Jesus Christ we have put our trust in. Man's way is not good enough. It's a way of destruction. It's a way of death. God said, "The blood has to be applied, and if I see the blood, I'll pass over." Well, why cannot we just accept God's word for what it says? You know, don't read anything into it. Don't change it. Don't try to add to it or take away from it. Just believe it by faith. It's simple. God made it so simple that even people like you and I can understand it. I know when I went to seminary, we had a professor that got up and he said, "You know, anybody can use some big words, make things hard to understand. But," he said, "if you'll put it on the bottom shelf where the little boys and girls can get it, the adults will probably get it too." And you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Make it simple and plain. And when a boy, a girl, I lead them to the Lord many times. I've led them to the Lord. And you got to make it simple. You got to make it plain so that they can understand. And when we do, then God can change their hearts. The children of Israel believed what God said. They applied the blood. Then they roasted the lamb. Now, God's provision not only involved the application of blood, but it also involved the feeding upon the lamb from which the blood came. And God continued to give Moses his instructions for Israel. There in verse 8 through 11 says, "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, all water that's boiled, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain of the morning, and that which remaineth of it unto the morning ye shall burn with fire. And this shall ye eat, thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The children of Israel were to prepare for the journey to the promised land. God said, if you'll follow me, follow Moses, he'll take you to the promised land. And they were to have their loins girded about, they have their clothes on, they're supposed to be dressed, they should have their shoes on their feet, they should be standing there with their staff or rod in their hands and eating it, expecting to leave at any moment when God said move. They were to obey God. And you know, and this was just a picture of our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be prepared for him. He's coming one day. The unleavened bread was a picture of the believers fellowshipping or feeding up on Christ. And then the bitter herbs, a picture of the believer partaking of his suffering. But my friends, he loved you so much. He suffered and bled and died for you and me. That's just a picture of what he did. We've seen the people's obedience. Now let's listen to the cry of the Egyptians. Not one household escaped. Look down verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote out all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. For the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Can you imagine some of these Egyptians laughing and making fun of the Israelites? Can't you imagine that they probably said, why? Those crazy Israelites are out there painting their house with blood. They made fun of them. They mocked them. And you know, they're just a bunch of religious fanatics. And whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, sometimes people and sometimes your own family say that he's just a religious fanatic. But you know, don't worry about what they say. You know, you don't have to give an account to them. We've got to give account to God. And we see here that, my friends, when that death angel passed over the land of Egypt that night, it was no laughing matter. Because that every household, the firstborn died. Every house, somebody died, except there in the land where the Israelites were. There was a cry that went out over the land, and not only did Pharaoh tell them to get out, he told them to go with a hurry on out, get out of here. He wanted them out. And you remember the story, if you go back and read the chapters 10 and 11, of Exodus, you'll find out that God told Moses, said, you tell the people to borrow all the jewels and things and clothes and beautiful things from the Egyptians and take it with you. I read about a year ago in a newspaper that came from Israel, and it said there that that Egypt had made a lawsuit against the nation of Israel to recover the jewels and the things that they had borrowed from the Egyptians whenever they left the land of Egypt, and how true that is. You know, what about you and I, my friend? Has the blood been applied to your heart and to your life? Has there been a time and a place in your life that you said, yes, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Christ died for me, and that he not only died, but he was buried, he rose again the third day, and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive you your sins and save your soul. Has there been a time and a place that you've done that? Oh, has he saved you by his marvelous grace? He saved me. I'm going to heaven, and I want you to go to heaven, and I'd like to see every one of you in heaven when I get there, and I'm looking forward to that time. But are you ready? Have you made preparation? These children of Israel believed God. They took God at his word. He said, take a lamb without blemish, without spot. He said, you make sure it's perfect. And then you slay that lamb on the 14th day. Then you apply the blood. And then you get ready to go. And we need to get ready to go on the journey. And we're not going to Canaan this time. We're going to heaven. And whenever we die, do you know that you would go to heaven? If not, you can know today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. No one looking around. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who says, preacher, I'm not sure if I die that I go to heaven. Preacher, would you remember me in prayer? I'm not sure if I die that I go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that? Just slip up your hand that I might see it and that I might remember you in prayer. Is there one over this congregation? Preacher, I'm not sure. If I die, I go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I won't embarrass you. I won't point you out. But we would like to pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, you know each heart and you know each life. Lord, I pray if there's one in our building today that's not saved, they're not ready to meet you, not ready for death to come. Lord, I pray as we have the invitation number here that they'll come forward and we'll be able to take thy word and show them how to be saved. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll just help us as Christians to realize we have a night to remember too. Remember what you did for us on that cross of Calvary. How you forgave us our sins and saved us. And Lord, that we might rejoice together with you. Lord, we pray now if there's one needs to come, that they'll come now in Christ's name. Amen.